chapter number 112 tonight, if you will, please. Psalms chapter 112. The thought tonight is the value of delighting in His commandments. The value of delighting in the commandments of the Lord. And so we'll read this one verse as our text, and then we'll read down through, we'll preach down through this portion of Scripture. I trust it's a blessing to you and for you. The Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Father, thank You tonight for this book and for the certainty of it. Thank You, Lord, that the author is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank You, Father, that there's no changing in You, no variableness, nor shadow of changing, You said. And Lord, thank You for the precious Holy Spirit of God who is so patient with us. And Lord, I pray that He would teach us those attributes also. And Father, we pray tonight for the preaching of the Word of God. I ask You, Lord, that the things that disturb us, the things that would disturb the message, the things that would disturb the preaching of the message, Lord, would dissipate in my mind and my heart and be able to give myself completely to the Word of God and the God of the Word and be used tonight for Your honor, for Your glory. We'll thank You for it. Lord, make me an encouragement tonight, both to the folk here and the folk that are watching from somewhere else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we're told in this portion of Scripture that there are some benefits for delighting greatly in the Word of God. Now, when we think about delighting, you know, God didn't say to delight in the Word here. He said to delight greatly. And so I wondered, you know, there are some other verses that talk about delighting in the Lord. In Psalms 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night." So evidently, one of the side aspects of delighting in the Word of God is to meditate upon it, to think about it, just to go over it again in your mind, over and over and over again as we meditate upon it. Psalms 37, verse number 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And of course, here we find that it's my responsibility to delight myself in the Lord. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's my responsibility to delight myself. And then the Bible says when we delight ourselves in the Lord, and I don't think you can separate the living Word of God from the printed Word of God. So when I delight myself in the Lord, the Bible says that He'll give me the desires of my heart. And then in Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "I delight to do Thy will, O God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart." And so here the Psalms just simply indicates that in order to know the will of God, we've got to know the law of God, the Word of God, and in those things we ought to delight ourselves. So in verse number 1, we find a promise made. It's actually a two-barbed hook here tonight. The Bible says, "The man that feareth the Lord." Well, and then, so we don't forget this later, down in verse number 8, the Bible says, "He shall not be afraid." So I think we see another aspect. We preached a while back on the fear of the Lord. And here the Bible says that a man that fears the Lord has nothing else to fear. And so we find he fears in verse number 1 because he fears the Lord. But down in verse number 8, he doesn't have anything else to fear. And we need to understand that. And so we look at this portion of Scripture. The Bible says that such a man that hungers after the Word of God, that delights himself in the Word of God, that means he finds pleasure in it, he finds adventure in it, he finds satisfaction in it, he delights himself in the commandments of the Lord. The Bible says that he's blessed. He's blessed. I don't know that I'm talking to anyone tonight that couldn't use another blessing. Now, when I say that, it almost sounds like we're covetous, like we're greedy, like we're wanting something else. But don't you want all the things that God has for you? Don't you want... Now, I don't mean to be greedy. I don't want to take something that belongs to somebody else. I don't want somebody else's blessing. But if God has a bucket load of blessings for me, I don't want to get a pint of blessings. I want the blessings of God in my life. And if I'm going to do that, the Bible says one of the things that I can do is to delight myself in the commandments of the Lord. I believe that the word blessed means, first off, it means happy. Happy. Now, the problem with the definition of happy is that it's usually involved It involves the things that are happening around us. Happiness and happening, it seems like there's a comparison there. There's a parallel there. But it also says that this blessed man is benefited. Well, don't we want the benefits of God? I talked to an older preacher one time, and he was with me on my ordination council, and we had a meeting downstairs in the church, and Brother Dan Allen was the one that was the chairman of the ordination council, and so they asked me all kinds of questions, and we started up to the auditorium, and Brother Allen stopped and turned around. He says, "Now listen, men, y'all have asked Brother Sutton all the hard questions. Don't try to get up here and embarrass him in front of this church." And I've never forgotten that. Brother Allen also, when he prayed with me that night, he put his hands on my head and prayed with me. And he says, "Brother Sutton, many times an ordination service is empty hands on an empty head. I hope it's not that way with you." And so he gave me a lot of good things to think about in life. But he said one time, "I imagine that in heaven, one of the things that's going to happen when we get to heaven and we stand there and we're judged not for our salvation, because that was taken care of on Calvary's cross. That was taken care of the day we got saved. It's indelible, can't be backed up on. But from that time until we stand before the Lord, I believe we'll give an account for the things that we do that we ought to do, and the things that we don't do that we ought to do, we'll give an account for. And then God will judge us for the things we did we shouldn't have done. And I think it'll be a matter of giving and receiving, giving and not receiving, benefits and rewards that later we're going to give back to the Lord as a thank you for what He's given to us." And he said, "I think when it comes to that time, God's going to take us over to this huge," he said, "I imagine this huge cupboard that goes from the floor way up to the ceiling or to the great heights. He's going to open the door and you're going to say, Lord, what's in this? What's in this?" He said, "This is what I had in mind for you." And he opens the door and there's going to be just a myriad of things that I could have had I met the requirements of God to have received those things. And he's going to go down and he's going to open door after door after door after door. And he's going to show me opportunities and he's going to show me things. And he's going to show me different influences that I could have had if I would have just met the criteria for being a blessed person. Benefited. Oh, I want to be benefited by the Lord. And then, of course, the last one is to be envied. Every child of God ought to have someone watching them that's wondering, "I wonder why they are the way they are in a good way. I wonder why they're always so happy. I saw him the other day when his car was broke down, and he didn't act like I act when my car's broke down. And I saw him just after he'd received word about a death in the family. Or I saw him when he lost his job and he just didn't go through all the cantankerous things that some people go through. And there's just something about that man that I really admire, something about him that I like." And then, of course, when such a person is witnessed to then by the person that they're envying, it's a lot better chance to win them to Christ than there is if you have to convince them that you have something that they need. And so the Bible says that God has promised blessings, happiness, benefited, to be envied to a person who has the right attitude about the Word of God. Now let's go down through here and notice some things. These are some promises from God. The Bible says in verse number 2, "His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." Here my Bible tells me that if I have the right attitude toward the Word of God, if I delight myself in the commandments of the Lord, that means I find myself feeding on them. I'm almost addicted to them. I have to spend time in the Word of God. It seems like I can't set an amount of time. Sometimes I'm in the Word of God 15 minutes and God gives me something to really chew on. And sometimes I struggle and I spend time and I pray and spend more time and pray again. And God says, "Keep it up, son, keep it up. You'll get there." And so then finally it comes a time when God says, "Okay, here's you something. Here's you something you can chew on and meditate on." And the Bible says if I do that with the right attitude and the right amount of time, the right way, the Bible says my seed shall be mighty on the earth. I remember hearing Mrs. Weaver one time say that somebody was giving her a bad time about homeschooling her children. And she said, "What I'm doing is I'm training my kids to be the boss over your kids. Something like that. Amen. She even agreed with me right now. Amen. And so, that's what I do when I spend the right amount of time and have the right attitude and I find joy and I find fulfillment and I find delighting in the commandments of the Lord, then I'm helping to train my children to where they, the Bible says, the word the Bible uses is that they shall be mighty upon the earth. And then the Bible says the generation of the upright shall be blessed. And so I believe that if I'm doing this right, it doesn't stop with me. It goes on to my children and to my children's children and my children's children's children. And we won't go any further than that. Amen. But it continues to go. The Bible says here that it's the generation of the upright shall be blessed. And so it's just a thing of keeping on going. And, you know, it's just so simple to roll out of bed and pick up your Bible and just read a little bit. Before you go to bed at night, read a little bit. During the day, you stop to do something and you can read just a little bit. And I don't mean to take time from your family or anything to do that. There's 24 hours in a day and everybody has the same 24 hours. And it's just what we do with the 24 hours. And God tells us that there's a lot of benefits if we'll just delight ourselves in His commandments. Notice verse number 3. Wealth and riches shall be in His house, and His righteousness endureth forever. Here the Bible says that the man who delights himself in the things of the Lord, the Word of God primarily, if he does that, the Bible says he'll have substance in his house. Don't you hate to be around people that are poor mouthing all the time? Oh, I don't have enough money for this, and oh, I don't have enough money for that, and just poor mouthing is what we used to call it, and I guess it's still a term people understand anyway. And the Bible says here that wealth and riches shall be in his house. All he's got to do is fear the Lord and keep God's commandments. And the word the Bible uses is delight in the Lord's commandments. And so tonight, maybe if we're running a little bit short on funds, maybe we ought to consider our attitude toward the Scriptures. Now you say, well, Brother Sutton, do you have so much money you don't want any more? Oh, no. I think I could take some more. I think my bank account... I checked the other day, and there's still room in my bank account for a little more. But do I have to have it? Well, you know, no. Would life be easier if I had a little more? Oh, yeah, probably, in some ways. But, you know, it might get in the way, too. Might get in the way. And so the Bible tells me that wealth and riches are in His house. I want wealth and riches to be in my house. And I don't want it to be indicated by the size of television I have or the type of recliner I have or how much I paid for it. I don't want it to be indicated by, you know, caviar, wherever you keep that. I wouldn't even know if someone gave me a case of caviar. I wouldn't even know where to keep it. I don't know if you can use it for fish food or not. Can you do that? But, I don't mean possessions necessarily. You see, wealth and riches can be more than just money. Wealth, health. Listen, as this COVID thing moves across our country back and forth, sweeping around, health. There's men today that would give every dime they have to have health. That's a wealthy thing, I believe. And then the Bible says in riches, and of course, if we can name the Lord Jesus as our Savior and heaven as our final home, we're wealthy and richer beyond than all things could ever tell us. And then His righteousness endureth forever. Righteousness is what He passes on to other people. The effect He has on other people. Never an end to it. Never an end to it. I remember my aunt one time, she came to hear me preach, and she claimed to be a believer. And she said that my message reminded her of someone that worked for my grandfather every year when they would move cattle. They lived on a ranch out in West Kansas there in the flatlands, and every year they'd move cattle from one place to another place for winter pasture and so forth. And this man had a little Bible, just a real little one that he'd carry in his pocket, in the best pocket. And he'd open it up, and she said the lettering in it was so small, I know he wasn't reading it. He had to have it memorized. Somebody would say something they shouldn't say, and he'd reach in his pocket and pull it out and flip it open. And just from memory, he'd give a verse or two of Scripture and said he was just known that way. And righteousness, just doing right things at the right time, doing things that please God at the right time. And the Bible says that the man who spends time in the Word of God and meditates upon the Word of God, delights on the Word of God, the man says that his righteousness endureth forever. Verse number 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. You know, Jesus said that he was the light of the world. In John chapter 8 and verse number 12, the Bible says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, and he shall have the light of life. And so here God's promised a man who delights himself in the commandments of the Lord. The Bible says that he will be a light in a dark world. Never in the history of the USA have things ever been so dark as they right now. I understand in 1865, whenever the Civil War was, things were bad, but they were no worse than they are now. The difference would be that they drew a line and somebody stepped over it. I guess someone fired a shot and the battle was on. But man, there's so much darkness today, so much deceit and so much deception and so many lies and so much wickedness. And we're living in a dark time. And we today who know the Lord Jesus, the Bible says of that person, the Bible says, but unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. And so we are not only to receive light, but we are supposed to give light. And in the Bible, I believe that because that's so much like Jesus, when we receive this light and we start giving out this light, then I think we automatically begin to display the characteristics that are listed here that are common with the Lord. The first characteristic is graciousness. Oh, thank God for grace. Brother Weaver mentioned that tonight. Grace. Thank God for grace. God's grace, God's mercy, God's compassions. God's compassions are new every morning. Grace. And then the second one mentioned there is compassion. And verse number 4, it says, he's full of compassion. You know, if we were full of compassion when the world shook us, we wouldn't spill so much anger on them. If we were full of compassion when the world shook us, it wouldn't shake us quite so bad. If we were full of compassion. And then the Bible says, and righteous, full of compassion and righteous. We're supposed to be that today, I believe. And we can be that if we'll find ourselves delighted in the commandments of the Lord. And then verses 6, 7, and 8, the Bible says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. I guess I could start out by this. I hadn't thought about this till just now, but what is your desire for your enemies? You know, you have people that would use you, abuse you, neglect you. We have people in our lives like that, but what's your desire for them? You want God to grab them, give them a royal Dutch rub or something? What do you want for your enemies? The Bible says here that if we're spending the time we're supposed to in the Word of God and it's having the effect on us it's supposed to have, the Bible says that he'll see his desires upon his enemies. You know, sometimes our enemies need to get saved. Sometimes our enemies need to be drawn into fellowship with the Lord. Sometimes our enemies just need somebody to listen to them. Sometimes maybe our enemies just need to see a good example. I don't know what your desire is for your enemies, but I think we perhaps have covered some things there. And so the Bible says in verse number 6, and we'll just look down through here just a little bit. First off, I see stability in verses 6, 7, and 8. We see so many people today that they're not stable. They're unstable, I guess is the right word. Notice the Bible says in verse 6, he shall not be moved forever. You know the reason people today go up and down like a window shade? You know why they're here today and gone tomorrow? You know why they're in and out of relationships and in and out of homes and in and out of marriages and in and out of everything in the world, in and out of trouble? The Bible says here that this man who is delighting greatly in the commandments of the Lord, the Bible says he should not be moved forever. You know, Brother Mays, I mentioned him all ago, and he's been a friend. He's been a friend for all the years that I, well, no, not all the years I knew him. It took a couple years for it to hook up, but after that, he's been a friend for a long time. And I used to see him. He spent more time in the Word of God. He worked for me when I was pastor in Johnson, Kansas, worked with me there at the church. And one thing I know about him, he spent a lot of time in the Word of God. And he's one of the most patient men I ever saw in my life. Sometimes I want to stick a firecracker in his hip pocket and say, get to move and do something, do something, do something. My daddy used to say, do something even if it's wrong. And that's not the answer. That's not the answer. But the Bible says here that this person who is greatly delighting greatly in the commandments of the Lord, he shall not be moved forever. And then the Bible says in verse number 7, his heart is fixed. His heart is fixed. Now, that word fixed has two different connotations to it. Fixed meaning repaired. His heart's repaired. You know somebody that a good dose of the Bible would repair their heart. But we've got to be the kind of people that when we present the Bible, our life is such that they believe. We have credibility with our witness and our testimony. And the Word of God can fix the heart. It can repair the hearts. But it also means nailed down. It means stable. It means not jumping around here and there and everywhere else, going here, going there, somewhere else. When I first got saved, I began to notice something. Contingency, I guess, of pastors, or about six of them. And it seemed like, you know, when this larger church opened up, there was a moving here, and there was a moving here, and there was a moving here, and moving here, and it seemed like it was the same ones. And I noticed that those men had a lot of things, but most of them didn't have a real successful ministry. Most of them didn't leave much behind when they were gone. Brother Mays has had a real small ministry most of his life, but his ministry has been steadfast. He's been fixed. He's just got it nailed down. And that doesn't mean he doesn't get discouraged. I've seen him discouraged. But I've never seen him wanting to throw in the towel and quit. He's just fixed. And we need people with stability in their life. Now, the Bible says, notice here it says, verse number 7, he should not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. No, that's trusting in the Lord. How did he learn to trust in the Lord, you suppose? How did he learn that? By spending time delighting in the commandments of the Lord. You know, I read the Bible. When I first got saved, I'd read the Bible, and I began to notice that there were some certain things that happened to the individual and to the family and to the nation that just believed what God said and just did what he told them to do. There's things that follow them. And that's what we see here. The Bible says he's trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed. He's trusting in the Lord. And then we mentioned before already that he need not be afraid. And if you're afraid of the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of anything else. It tells us in verse number 1 that he fears the Lord. And we need to understand that. Verse number 9, the Bible says that this man who is taking care of the commandments of the Lord and he is delighting in those commandments. Verse number 9 says that he's a giver. He becomes a giver. I'm asking the Lord. It's been a while since I really got down and asked him about this, but I think it would be a wonderful thing if when I leave planet Earth, that I can give back to the work of God. And somebody could go through all the records of all the monies that Miss Judy and I have been paid, been given by different ministries and one thing or another that we've been in, and know full well that we gave back more than we were given. Now, that's going to take God to do some things, but I've asked God to do that. And again, I haven't asked him that for a while, but I just believe that there's a connection between fearing the Lord and delighting greatly in His commandments and the ability to give. I just see that as something. The Bible says He hath dispersed. It's already past tense. He's already been a giver. He hath given to the poor. And of course, He's dispersed. Yeah, given to the poor. His horn shall be exalted. A horn speaks of power. And of course, there's two horns mentioned in the portion of Scripture we're reading. But the Bible says that there's an evil horn and there's a good horn. So here, the horn of the righteous man shall be exalted in honor. I believe that God says He's going to have power, but He's not going to have to come by it illegitimately. He's going to come by it honorably. Isn't that the word that's used? He said, His horn shall be exalted in honor. And we know that the Bible teaches that when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord, and that which we've given, He'll repay. You know, there's just so many promises to people who will get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into us that we can fulfill and so forth. And then in verse number 10, the wicked shall see it. What's the wicked going to see? They're going to see all these benefits. They're going to see all of these, all God's grace working in this person's life. And the Bible says, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. I see in verse number 10, this man's going to be a faithful witness. There's just something about witnessing for the Lord and not being a giver. You just don't find people that rob God continually that are real witnesses for Christ. They just don't do that. It's two things. It's like oil and water. You know, you might get them shaking up for a while and they look like but they just come apart then. And we find that that's what's happened here. And I want to be a witness for my Savior. I want to brag to lost people about what Jesus has done for me, what He's doing for me. And I want them to know that it's not because of what I've done. It's mercy, it's grace, it's compassion. God just took a sinner and saved him. And I didn't have much sense, but I just believed that the book was true and we ought to do what it says to do. And God has honored that. God has honored that. And I haven't been perfect. And I wonder sometimes how much better certain areas of my life would be had I learned some of these truths earlier in life and put them into practice. I want to be a good witness. Now I want to share with you where we have a choice in this matter. Entweder oder, unsere Entscheidung. Either or, and it's our choice. Listen to what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. You know, God said that the abundance of all things ought to bring joy and ought to be gladness to our heart. If we just stop and think of what God has given us, and even what He's not given us, It ought to cause our heart to sing. It ought to cause our heart to just to lift up and praise Him. And so the Bible says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God, it's talking about saved people, with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and thirst and nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. Well, that doesn't sound like a very good thing. And so here God says, if we just realize what we have and get thrilled about that and excited about that, take His word and hide it in our heart that we not sin against Him, meditate upon His word, on the word of God, delight ourselves in it, the Bible says all these promises can be ours. But He says, Don't put all your eggs in that basket and then don't do what you're supposed to do. Because He said there's another side of that coin too. And if we don't serve God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, then we can serve Him in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. I think today we live in a world where people are wanting things that if they were given them, it probably hurt them to start with. And secondly, they want them, but they want somebody else to provide the the sweat and the blood and the tears and the funds to provide those things, when really, if they're saved, all they'd have to do is just fall in love with this book and give God a little bit of time, and chances are God would give them better than what they're wanting right now. Better than what they're wanting right now. Just because they fell in love with this old book. It's not an ordinary book. It's not a normalist book. It's exciting. It's different. It's transforming. It'll change us. But it has to get into our heart. And it's going to come into our heart through our eyes or our ears. The Bible says, let these sayings sink down into your heart. So it starts up here, goes down into our heart, and it begins to produce the things that God says are blessings. And as we look at the list tonight, I say we have to say the same thing. Let's bow our heads tonight. Close.